All my life, I have been surrounded by the image of St. Martha. Many of my relatives, female relatives that is, are named Martha. Aunts and cousins and so forth. I can't even remember how many there are. And of course, it's a very good name because it is a saint, a great saint of the New Testament, and for several decades after, probably till around the year 100 or so, that had a very great influence in the life of the church. Now, of course, we read this gospel that we had today, we had it recently, about how our Lord used to come to her house. And the gospel does not say the house of Lazarus. It says her house. She was the head of the house. She was probably the oldest of the three siblings that we know of. Saint Martha, Saint Mary of Bethany, not Magdalene, as many have made mistakes. Even in the books, there are mistakes, thanks to Gregory the Great. And saints make mistakes, so he did, and that's it. And then, of course, St. Lazarus, very, very famous St. Lazarus, who was to prove to the Jews and to others who were there that Jesus Christ was God. He died, and he was buried, and 4 days after, when there would already been a stench, as the gospel says, our Lord raised him up, and he came out. Lazarus, come out. Well, all this took place in the vicinity and in the house of St. Martha, the Virgin. St. Martha was always working. And we know some people like that. That doesn't mean that she didn't pray, but she prayed as she worked. St. Mary of Bethany, her sister, on the other hand, was always sitting at the feet of Christ, listening and learning and asking questions and so forth. Different vocations which there are in the church, even to this day, and even unto the end of time. But one of the things that, since I was a child, I have been seeing there's many pictures and statues of St. Martha. Some of them are very much related to my family. The friend of my great-great-grandfather, St. Teresa of Jesus, Cornet Eivars, who is the patroness of old age for those who need it. She established many houses. She founded an order of nuns in Spain, similar to the one that is more familiar to us here in America, St. Jean de Jougan of the Little Sisters of the Poor. Well, St. Teresa Hornet established a similar thing. In fact, for a while they thought about uniting forces. But then there was something going on in France, and St. Teresa told the priest that went with her, who is also up for canonization, there's something going on here, let's go home. And they did, and they kept on their own. In the meantime, her sisters, las hermanitas de los ancianos desamparados, of the forsaken old, and in fact, in many ways, the old are forsaken. They are over the world now, and they're probably the only order of active nuns in the world that has not changed their habit. Even Paul VI, who allowed all the nonsense that happened, would rejoice when they came to see him, because they have several homes in Rome. And I used to go there almost every Sunday and have benediction and so forth for the nuns, and they came to my ordination, to my first Mass in Rome. And many of her houses are called St. Martha, but in every sanctuary, on the altar, along with Jesus and Mary and Joseph, there is always a statue of St. Martha. Well, all these pictures and statues of St. Martha show St. Martha with a leash. And no, she's not holding Sankey dog or something like that. She's holding a dragon by a leash. the dragon is the devil. See, Martha is very, very important in exorcisms. And so she always has shown holding the dragon. She commands him and he obeys her, even if only temporarily. So, of course, all three of them and others, including St. Maximin, and a whole community of Catholics, were condemned to death in a very, very gruesome way. They were put on a boat with no sails, no oars, just to float and die in the sun of thirst and starvation. And that was it. Well, you know, you can't be God. So what did they do? The Lord blew their ship to Marseille in southern France, in Provence. And there eventually, St. Lazarus became the first bishop or archbishop of Provence. And St. Maximin, who was one of the 72 disciples, became the bishop of a nearby diocese, Tarascon, an ex-bishopric. And then they all had different communities that they founded. St. Mary of Bethany, a community of contemplative nuns. St. Martha, a community of nuns, but we don't really know exactly. They probably were active in some way, but it was at this time that she was to contemplate and listen at the feet of Christ. And of course, St. Lazarus, Archbishop of Marseille. St. Maximin founded the diocese of Tarascon near Aix, and he too was to be a martyr. And of course, there were others that we do not know. And so today, we celebrate them all under the umbrella, the auspices of St. Martha. Martha knew what she was doing, and the Lord only reminded her that there are more important things in life than to work. Work is necessary. Work is important. But there are more important things in life than to work, 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 and not pray. Prayer and work must be joined together. And as a result, St. Martha holds the demon by a leash and he obeys her. And he goes where she tells him, and eventually, probably down to the recesses of hell. So when tempted, remember to pray to St. Martha. She is a great saint in delivering us from evil, delivering us from the devil and the demons that surround us in this world. And there are so many. Nowhere can we be safe from them. Not even here. The devil is all the time here to tempting people and bothering them and bothering me with all kinds of things. And so St. Martha is very much to be called upon in these our battles that we have in life. So St. Martha, pray for us and deliver us from evil. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.